This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Bart Scott, this is a rarity for us. This is a rarity for us. Most people don't get to see this. We are on ESPN2 today. It is Giving Tuesday. And of course, beginning of V-Week for us here at ESPN. That's the most important thing to talk about first. V.org/donate. But as a result of being on ESPN2 today, we get to do something that we don't normally get to do on camera. Because our show is only only televised for the first 2 hours. Are you having technical difficulties at this time?
You know you have a little short in your wire or something. You know what I mean? I'm good now.
This is the worst time.
No,
because this is a big moment.
Yeah, but
are you ready?
Despite about what I'm about to do, this is usually the hour where I take my shoes off, start eating stuff everywhere, and make the entire studio smell like corn chips.
That's accurate. That's literally what happened.
Now I got to stay on my best behavior.
But now you have to stay dressed.
For 3 straight hours.
Shoes on.
Yep.
But now everybody gets to see something that is one of the mythical wonders of ESPN Radio. And that is when we hit hour number 3. Because Bart Scott on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. When it's hour number 3. What does that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
All right, don't hurt yourself. I think he's stuck. Okay, we got you unstuck. Take a breath.
I went boxing, so my lung capacity is going up just about 5%.
5%? That's what we'll take. We have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. U.S. Iran beginning right now.
Listen, man.
And the one thing that Iran has going for it is they don't have to score. They don't have to let you score. Just sit back.
Hey, man.
If they leave with a draw, they advance. U.S. goes home.
Oh, so is this like the team?
Like, what strategy would you play if you're Iran? I'm just going to sit back. Put everybody in the net.
Well, that's what you heard, because you're going to be under duress and attack. If you're not afraid to score some goals, you're just going to be defending all the time. That's a lot of pressure. So I hope they go with that game plan. And if America can't beat Iran, then you don't need to be. Don't come back.
Here we go.
Don't come back.
Did you just do the America?
You got to go live in Puerto Rico, or you got to go live.
Puerto Rico? It's beautiful there.
Yes.
I would send them to somewhere miserable.
Or Alaska.
Because Alaska is beautiful.
No, what I'm saying is all the things that's not attached to other cities, U.S. territories.
We don't. Alaska's not a territory; it's a state.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, state, I know.
But it's not attached to America. It's basically part of Canada.
Guam.
Right. What I'm saying is
Guam.
No. Those are your two choices. I don't want to see your stinking face if you can't beat Iran.
Iran. We were corrected by a reporter yesterday.
Iran. I need origin of word.
It's a country.
Because I know, how do you spell Ran?
R-A-N.
And you put an I in front of it, Iran.
I know, but it's not.
So I need original word.
It's not Italian. It's not Italy.
Who? That's what I say. Italian. Italian stallion. Rocky Balboa.
Anyways.
What did the guy say? I learned how to read based on my movies I like. How did the guy say it? How did Apollo Creed say the Italian stallion?
Yes.
So if it's good enough for Apollo Creed, a.k.a. Carl Weathers, it's good enough for me, damn it. The Italian stallion. The Iran soccer team. Because Iran to the
Iran
game.
And the U.S. beginning now in a huge World Cup.
Don't come back, America.
Meanwhile, it's a ESPN 888-729-3776. We continue the conversation of the trust factor as December football is now upon us, starting Thursday, which is December 1st. You start getting Week 13 football, and the first match, the first game is Bills-Patriots. In the AFC East, that's a big matchup.
Yeah.
In the NFC East, you have Commanders-Giants to start off some things, too. Now, you might say, Commanders have played, they've been balling lately.
They're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
All four teams from the NFC East are currently in the playoffs.
So pick a team right now. Barstradamus. Which team will not make the playoffs out of the NFC East? Because it is impossible to believe that all four will. It could happen, but they got to play each other. You got two against the Eagles. The Giants alone. Two against the Eagles, two against the Commanders.
It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt.
So?
I love you, Dayball.
Uh-oh.
Wink, wink. You dog, man.
Oh,
you my boom, you my boy, Blue. Man,
But that's the one you're going with?
I think it's Noah Dory Jackson. McKinney hurt himself on vacation. Kenny Galladay has never showed up. I love Saquon and running the ball, but Saquon can only do so much. So if I have to pick one.
Somebody's got to go.
It's going to have to be the men, the blue men, the G-men. Wow. Damn, that hurts to say. But please, New York, call up and tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm not saying what I'm saying.
The Giants have the Commanders Sunday at home, the Eagles at home the week after, the Commanders in Washington then after that, then at Minnesota, then they get the Saturdays on Sunday, the Colts, and then they finish the Eagles.
That's five tough games. You have to hope that the Eagles have locked everything up.
And that game doesn't mean anything.
And they home put the backup.
Home game, though.
Ooh, and it's a but chance. It's a chance to send the Giants
if
home.
If you lock up number one, do you play Jalen Hurts in that game? You can't possibly play Hurts in
what
that game.
What you mean? They got Minshew Mania, baby. That's the only way you beat Heineke. Minshew Mania is a real thing. It's like Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you Minshew Mania shows up to the game with jean shorts cut off.
Why not?
With hairy thighs and cowboy boots for the game.
Right.
And a bolo tie.
And you know what? Right before the first, right before first down, gets under center, comes up, takes a puff, flicks the cig.
He looks like he could. Right? He looked like he,
like,
he looked like he could be an extra on the replacement player.
100%. Tony is in New York, wants to talk some G-men. Tony?
I'm scared, Tony. I'm nervous, Tony. Talk me off this cliff.
Scared.
You know what? So I got to say, you guys are my ride along. I listen to you guys every day on the way to work. Love the show.
Appreciate you.
My take on the Giants is I think they're going to be a better team next year because Brian Daboll is going to learn what his guys can do, learn what they can't do. And as far as Daniel Jones goes, he's the same quarterback. He's just got a better voice in his head, and they need to get a handle on his bad decisions.
Do you think he's the guy for the future, though?
Do I think he's the guy for the future? Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because instead of telling him that he is the man and, you know, just giving him the starting job, what they need to do is bring somebody in there that can push him and, you know, so he can get his guys behind him and make them believe that he's the guy.
They bought in Tyrod. They brought in Tyrod.
You know,
like,
Tyrod Taylor is.
But what's the upgrade from Tyrod? Minshew Mania? Like, it's not too many
good
backups.
Thank you, Tony. I think.
Teddy Bridgewater?
No. Or, Teddy's been there.
Jameis Winston?
No.
Andy Dalton?
Come on now.
Who the hell are you going to go get?
Jimmy G.
That bro, if you bring in Jimmy G might win the Super Bowl. You know how much money you got to pay Jimmy G?
Okay.
That means you're not paying.
Somebody's got to pay him. Who's paying him?
What I'm saying is
who's paying him?
What I'm saying is that means that you're not going to keep Daniel Jones. It's over. So if you believe – he said bring somebody that can push him.
Oh, yeah. But I'm
like, bruh.
Yeah, but I'm – look, I got to pay Saquon or Daniel Jones. I'm not paying both. So if I can get an upgrade, I'm getting the upgrade. Don't you think? Getting the upgrade.
You just want to see Jimmy G and a Calvin Klein
in
Times Square.
Not really what I'm looking forward to at all. But
that's what he's looking forward to. I could be in Times Square.
But here's a question, though. Does Jimmy G really fit the way Brian Daboll wants to play with a quarterback that has that, you know,
that
RPO?
I don't know.
But I don't think
he's
that guy.
Jimmy G's not. See, right. But it's more ways to do the RPO.
So who's
the best? No,
if Jimmy G's not the fit, then there's got to be somebody else. But you've got to get if you can get a better player,
okay,
you get him, don't you?
Yeah, but they're going to have to bid for him.
You're the Giants.
Okay.
You are in New York.
The Saints got a bunch of money and a lot better weapons. And if you pay him, like New Orleans, no state taxes as well, like could be there. Well,
who's available?
I don't know
Baker
what I'm saying.
Mayfield?
No, what
Sam
I'm saying,
Darnold?
What
are you going?
Is, what if Tom Brady retires?
Oof.
When you want to go throw to Mike Evans and Godwin and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. Mitch Trubisky going to go to the Giants? I mean, who are you getting? That's the whole problem is unless you're drafting one, I don't think there's going to be That's why this guy's better than Daniel Jones guy. There's guys who have all the flaws. Again, Baker will be available. You could go there and think, is he going to be better? Sam Darnold, is he going to be better than Daniel Jones?
James Winston.
Are these lateral moves?
Right.
Or are these aggressive, like, they're all in because he's better.
It depends on how much Jimmy G.
But if you don't.
No, it depends on how much Daniel Jones. If Daniel Jones is smart, he said, I'll take a 2-year extension you can pay me about $15 or $20 million a year.
That's right.
Give me 2 for $40. Jameis Winston signed a 2 for $28. Sign me a 2 for $40 for an opportunity to prove myself once again and go out and get the best players, because you still got to eat that Kenny Galladay contract for another year. You can't cut him until after next year. So you're stuck with him. Let's go to another caller. I like this.
You like this?
Yeah, I like this.
You're enjoying the back and forth.
I'll tell you what. I want to hear this East.
Before we get back to the calls on the NFC East and all the things that should happen in that division, again, who you trust and who you don't, let's talk to somebody who used to play in the NFC East.
Mm.
And we're going to do that, Bart, after you tell us about O'Reilly.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm pinning cases on all you. Don't miss See Better. Drive safer month at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you get great deals on wiper blades, headlights, bulbs, cleaning products, and more. Get up to $20 gift card on select purchases, and their professional parts people will even install your wiper blades for free. Get ready for the weather ahead during See Better Drive Safer month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by your local O'Reilly or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
This is V-Week at ESPN.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Every minute that I have left, I will thank God for the day and the moment I have.
Help continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer. Visit v.org/donate. All donations benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Yes, be part of the fight against cancer. v.org/donate. 100% of your donations go to cancer research. Bart said he wanted to get more calls. Here's a conversation with somebody that certainly would know about the NFC East and all the things that we've just been talking about that division with four teams right now in the playoff hunt. That's Mark Herzlich, who joins us right now. Of course, a linebacker, won a Super Bowl with the Giants, now on the ACC Network. Mark, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
It's great to have you on. Let's just begin where we just left off, which is this division. And you played in it. You know what it's like and how these teams are all in the playoff hunt. And now we're in December football. I asked Bart this question. I'm going to ask you the same thing. When I tell you, when I say these words to you, I want to know, what do you immediately think? December football.
I immediately think it's, first of all, incredibly important. Second of all, it's been how many years since we've really been talking about the NFC East in December?
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, I think that's to me, is the part that's kind of vexing, but also great for the NFC East. It's like, I remember 2 years ago, it was like, no team should make the playoffs because it was like, who's going to be the worst out of them? And now it's like, wow, this is one of the premier divisions in football, and it's fun football to watch. I mean, you just think about Thanksgiving Day, just that Giants Cowboys game. I mean, just such fun football.
It's like you look at them right now, they're all in. If this playoff started today, all four teams would be in. But when you go down the resume and you look at the teams in which they beat, you know, this division has the easiest record in all of football when you look at the teams played in their win percentages. Who are you really buying to be able to make real noise?
Trust factor.
Going forward.
Yes.
Yeah, the whole trust fall type of thing. And going forward, all of these teams are going to play each other. Giants have the Eagles twice. They have the Commanders twice. They have yet to play people within their division. So we know that all four won't go. Who do you trust to make the tournament?
I think right now, and I think the one I trust the most is the Eagles, just because they, you know, I always trust a team that has a legit quarterback, right? I mean, we both play linebacker. We both know how, you know, we love defense. But if you don't have a good like a quarterback that's reliable, not turning the ball over a bunch, then it's like, hey, we don't trust you as much. So, yeah, I think for me, the Eagles right now are that kind of number one trust. And then probably number two is the Giants, because they're built around run game They're built around play action on offense and then defense, right? And so, and I think that that is a formula to win in December when the elements get bad, when you do play in division. So, yeah, those are kind of my two top ones.
Listen, I love when a homer becomes a homer. I love that.
Wait. How much did it hurt for him to have to admit that he trusts the Eagles more than any other team?
Well, that's odd. They got almost the best record. I know that hurt and that stung easy. A little bit. But my problem with the Giants is the fact that McKinney's gone, Adoree Jackson is gone, and it just seems like the injuries may catch up to them. And, you know, you look at, you know, they played well on Thanksgiving Day, but I just don't know, you know, when they have to play these teams within the division, if they can get enough wins to stop those, you know, Dallas. And
I think Bart, I think that's a good point, too, because, I mean, you know, sometimes when your defense is great at creating turnovers and gets turnovers, you know, it can skew things. But then the games where you're unable to turn the ball over, then, you know, it's like, okay, you know, are we as good as we think we are? So, you know, I think that's a great point. Like, that's another part of it, too, that, you know, when you look at the Giants, you know, again, they score points off turnovers. They, you know, thrive on that type of thing. But if they do run into a stretch where turnovers become scarce, yeah, how well do they do?
Mark Herzlich joining us right now on ACC Network analyst, a Super Bowl champ with the Giants back in the day, and also best comeback athlete ESPY in 2011, somebody that certainly can relate to what we're doing here on Giving Tuesday, v.org/donate, the V Foundation for Cancer Research. And, you know, Mark, you had your own experience with this, and, you know, I'm just wondering if you're thinking back to those days and you think to – all the things that we try to do here at ESPN in raising as much money as possible to eradicate cancer. Just from your experience, again, like what you went through, let the people know who we're talking with, what you went through and the experience you had with it.
Yeah, for sure. And first of all, I think that, you know, the V Foundation is phenomenal. And I've done a lot of work with them over the years. And I love how, you know, first of all, the money that goes in gets put to amazing use. And so, you know, I was a senior at Boston College, going into my senior year, had just been named ACC Defensive Player of the Year, was, you know, actually deciding whether to leave early for the draft or not. And then I get diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma, a very rare form of bone cancer in my left femur, and was told basically that, you know, I had probably 10% chance of survival, and then if I did survive, the damage that would be done to my leg would be so much that I would have to walk with a cane for the rest of my life. And, you know, on top of that, they said, you know, gosh, if this was 10 years ago, which would have been 20 years ago, because now I'm over 10 years cancer free. But if it was back then, you know, they would just amputate your leg immediately. And then, you know, it just kind of goes to show some of the work that, you know, the V Foundation does in organizations like that to progress the medical advancements in rare diseases like I had, where now I had new options available to me with chemotherapy and radiation, and was able to, you know, get through those treatments, did, you know, 50 rounds of radiation, 7 months of chemotherapy, had a titanium rod inserted through my left femur, and then was able to finally come back and start trying to play again. And I returned to play for Boston College in 2010 season. And then, yeah, after being projected for the top first round guy, I went undrafted to the New York Giants and played 7 years for them, won a Super Bowl my rookie year. And so, you know, was able to do a lot of different work with different cancer organizations. But the V Foundation has been phenomenal. And, you know, Dick Vitale holds a gala every year down in Sarasota, and was, you know, down there for that. And just seeing the work and the buy-in from everyone at ESPN was awesome. And honestly, it's one of the reasons why I came to work for ESPN, because I, you know, during my time I was sick, you know, they gave me a platform to help other people and to educate them on, you know, on cancer and to give them hope.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but because you were in college, where you're probably 18, 19 years old, that's not really considered juvenile cancer, right? Or, you know, it's not that,
yeah,
right?
So, Correct. So, yeah, I was 21 years old, and the type of cancer that I had is considered a pediatric cancer because it predominantly hits men between the age of 9 and 19. So, like, it was a pediatric cancer. I was not technically a pediatric patient, but I was still treated by some pediatric doctors.
Well, I asked that to ask this. You know, how important is your story? I've spent some time at St. Jude's. And a lot of times, you know, it's you know, as a young man and a young athlete, you know, I'm sure your story isn't unique as far as being told what they won't be able to do going forward if they beat it. You know, it's like, okay, you get to live, but the thing that you love the most, you will never be able to do. How has your story impacted other young athletes? And, you know, who are some of the people that you may have connected to that you helped to continue to inspire? Anybody make it to the league or anybody you know, connect with you that was a great high school player or college player that you helped through, you know, some tough times?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great question. And you're right. You know, like a lot of times they'll give you a treatment plan and, you know, they'll talk about your future, but there's always an asterisk, right? It's like, you can do this if, or you may, you know, you might not be able to do this, but, right? And so that asterisk is, I think, the biggest part of, you know, maintaining hope. It's kind of removing that and not having that even be in your mind. And you know, I talk to athletes all the time, and a lot of it is, you know, the similar cancer to what I have. But you know, people have all types of cancer, and you know, I mean, for instance, you know, again, I was diagnosed back in 2009, and you know, Marcus Cannon is a guy who was diagnosed with a different form of cancer, you know, pretty soon after me, but we had, you know, same, we had a mutual connection, and, you know, talked to him, you know, briefly back in the day, and obviously he's thriving now. And, but as far as like the younger kids who have gone on to do some really awesome things at high school, and you might not know any of their names, but they're out there. And it's so cool when I talk to someone when they're first diagnosed, and I don't know, they're, you know, 14 or 15. And then I get a note from them or from their parents, you know, years later, and a picture with, you know, with me with them or whatever it might be. And hey, they're graduating from high school on the football team doing different things. And I think that that's, to me, that's the coolest part, and watching these kids thrive, not just survive after their diagnosis.
Though those are the best stories. And those are certainly the stories that motivate what we're doing here with the V Foundation. Mark, it was great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for the time, and decade and more. Congratulations on the good health as well.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Great talk again, Bart.
Always a pleasure, man. Good luck.
Mark Herzlick, again, he's now with ACC Network as an analyst, but he won that Super Bowl with the Giants. Think about
it. Rookie, you know, year, man. Talk about, man.
Well, think about it. 2 years after being diagnosed for something that he thought would end his career. He gets to be part of a Super Bowl championship. That's a,
you know, Eric,
that's a
Berry too. Like, you know, good turn of events. A thriving star. Mm-hmm. I mean, those stories are important to promote hope to the athletes. That hey, man, because you don't want to be the one of one. Like, oh, yo, it has been done. Like, okay, you can come back from this.
Yeah,
you know, it's just beautiful that we are able to tell these stories.
And there's more stories to share, because while we were doing this throughout the show, a good friend of ours, Mike Westhoff, who certainly has been through this as well, called in and said, "Hey, I want to talk to you guys." So let's do that. Mike Westhoff, next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is V-Week at ESPN.
That speech, "Don't give up, don't ever give up," has created what we're here today. a legacy that affects so many people battling cancer. And that's what Jimmy's done. Save lives. And he'll go on generation after generation. And that's a great legacy to have.
Join the fight against cancer. Go to v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes to cancer research.
The voice of the great Dick Vitale from last year's ESPYs, or this past year's ESPYs, I should say, as we are, again, is Giving Tuesday. This begins V-Week for us, and v.org/donate is where you go, and 100% of the proceeds that you can donate go straight to cancer research. And it is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So while we are doing this today, we got a call from an old friend who wanted to join us and discuss things such as cancer research and the importance, of course, of the battles to survive cancer. And then we'll talk some football as well with him. One of the great special teams coaches, if not the greatest, in the history of the sport.
Whoa, whoa, you better.
Mike Westhoff.
You want to get your head bit off?
You
better remove.
If not the.
No, Doug, take the if out.
All right.
And then say the.
Greatest
okay.
special there teams
you
coach.
Hey, bring him in right now.
Now, I don't have enough background to know if I'd be correct, so that's why I said if
take
not
take my
the.
Word for it.
Mike Westhoff joins us right now. Westy, how you doing?
You ended up getting it correct. You're all right.
Got it right the second
all
right,
how
time
you guys
around.
Doing? Thank you. Nice talking to you. I listen to you. I live in Fort Myers, Florida, and I get to hear you quite often. I listen to you almost every day.
That's our one listener that likes us there.
We're huge in Fort Myers. They want us to talk about it.
Michelle loves us there as well. So we have Mike and we have Michelle who like us. But Mike, first and foremost, because, again, as you know, what we're doing today with Giving Tuesday and the V Foundation, and you are somebody that certainly has been through a lot throughout your life. With all the success that you've had, you've also had a lot of challenges, and one of them being overcoming cancer yourself.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a two-time survivor. I'm about 35 years out right now. When I was first diagnosed in 1988, I was working for the Miami Dolphins. And I had primary osteogenic sarcoma, which is primary bone cancer. Mm-hmm. At that time, there was about a 20% survival rate. Now, fortunately for me, I was at the right doctors, the right surgeons, the right chemotherapy, the right oncologist, and I survived it. Now, because of research and development, which you're doing right now, believe me, it works. Now, those numbers are pretty much reversed. Now that cancer has about an 80% survival rate. So believe me when I'm telling you what you're promoting works. There's life after cancer. And I went through by the most difficult. I've had 10 surgeries over 10 hours. And I live a very normal life. I had a tremendous career. I've written a book, which, by the way, Bart, you better buy 10 copies for Christmas. The book's called Figure It Out. I'm extremely proud of it. And I've had a very, very, very happy life, and I'm proud of what I was able to do. So thank you for promoting a tremendous resource. Thank you.
First of all, Mike, you hurt my feelings because, you know, at the Jets, they put a little bit more cheese on my taco. 10 is an insult, man. You got to give me at least 30.
I'm going to Amazon right now. Ordering 30 books.
Amazon, the book's called Figure It Out.
Figure It Out.
I'm proud of it. Yeah, I think you'll really enjoy it. It's a cool story of part of the game that I think I'm more than helped. I actually got it there. Evolved to a particular level, and it has now been kind of diluted to a different level. It doesn't mean right or wrong or good or bad. It is what it is, but I'm proud to have been involved in it.
Figure It Out is the title. It's my 32-year journey while revolutionizing pro football's special teams. And that certainly is a fact. And it's Barry Wilner, a longtime NFL writer, also authored with you. And Mike, I've got to tell you something that Bart Scott said earlier on this show that I know with your team's histories, one includes the Jets, but of course you do – have many years with the Dolphins and Don Shula, I've got to tell you that Bart does not believe in the Dolphins. He, in fact, thinks that these next couple of weeks, with the way the schedule looks, they could fall out of the playoffs. How do you feel about that?
I would agree with that. I know this, that the Dolphins are, I was at their practice. They're an extremely explosive offensive group, but they're fragile. They can be scored upon. They can be pounded. They can be kept that offense on the bench. And I think when they go out and they have to play at the 49ers, at the Chargers, and at Buffalo, we're going to find out. Now, if they come through that successfully, look out.
Yeah.
Because you get some home field advantage with them, mm-hmm. they're capable. But we're going to find out how real or how much of a pretender they are. In the next 3 weeks, we're going to have their answer.
And that's all.
If they ended up out of it, it would not shock me.
And that's all I was saying. I was saying pump your brakes a little bit. I looked at the schedule, the four-game winning streak of who they beat, and can they take this show on the road, and can they win one of these games in a phone booth where it ain't about how many points you can score. It's about how tough you are in the trenches. And losing Armstead is going to be a big loss because that's the blind side, or not the blind side of Tua because he's a left-hander, but we know how fragile he is as far as being able to get hit and thrown to the ground. It was a scare last week. But on the flip side, I'm looking at the Jets and see it's an opportunity if they can get by Minnesota. You know, their schedule, you know, I know Detroit is not an easy out. We saw last week Jacksonville is not an easy out. But I do appreciate the fact that the Jets have paid attention to the third of the game that I feel is being diluted, because during the first half of the football season, you know, you don't have many kickoff returns because bad kickers can hide in this league by kicking a flat ball and just getting the depth that they need. But when it gets cold outside, that ball doesn't travel. So we're going to see who really practices kickoff returns, who practices kickoff coverage, who practices all the parts of the game, all three phases of the game, not just two.
Yeah, you saw this in these last couple of weeks. That's become very evident. Teams are now – I mean, if the Green Bay Packers can run the ball up over midfield, for crying out loud, and get that starting field for that, they couldn't run across the street with a good team. Teams I used to have, they couldn't across the street. But now all of a sudden, you're going to find out. You saw it last night. The Indianapolis Colts kept themselves in the ball game with big plays on special teams. They kept themselves – then, of course, you know, when they're, in my opinion – a non-head coach all of a sudden didn't have any idea what the clock was doing. That solved the end of that game. But they kept themselves in. So it's going to be interesting. And those little things come to fruition right now. And the teams that are able to do all of that and fight through the bad weather, control the clock, et cetera, all of a sudden that's the kind of team that starts getting in to the championship games and can win it all. But it's going to be interesting to find out. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure you guys will have a great time talking about it.
Yeah, we always do. And, Westy, I would want to ask you what the hell happened to the Jets on that game-winning
they go picking scabs
punt return by the Patriots. But I'd rather know.
Okay, first of all, you got Hurricane Ian, which we just had down here, 155-mile-an-hour winds, which, trust me, I watched. So they got that blowing to the left, all right? They double the gunner or flyer to the Jets left. So you know they're going to run over there. They got seven in the box. They're going to rush up the field and make that punter keep the ball in the middle of the field. What you have to do, a thing I used to call it slam. You slam protect it. You take your wing. You tell them to fire off the ball and smack that number one right in the face, that rusher, bounce outside and release, and the fullback comes over. That lets you fullback, it lets your punter turn just a little bit and punt the ball to the number, just the number. If he punts it to the number, the wind will blow it out of bounds and you'll go into overtime. What do? They don't protect it that way. They rush in his face. Now he line drives the ball in the middle of the field. The guy takes a couple steps the opposite way and they run for a touchdown. That's that simple. You have to know how to do these little things at these times to help you win the game. And they obviously hadn't practiced that because they pressured them, made them keep the ball in play. Next thing you know, you've got a big return and a touchdown. You lose the game and you go home.
Westy, Allen head is about to explode because you just gave him a master class, so I'll try and translate to him.
No, I know exactly. Everything he said made absolute sense.
Yeah,
that was as simply put as you could possibly put it.
Yeah, the ball was supposed to go to the right. It got hung up in the air, went to the middle. He outkicked his coverage. And Clemens, the left side wing, went underneath because they thought the ball was going to the right. So they avoided underneath instead of fanning out properly. You have to see the ball kicked. It's not where it's supposed to go. It's where it's actually going. That's why you have to take a peek up, and see where the ball is going. Uh-huh. And then change your lanes accordingly.
That's what change
your lane.
Yeah,
Reggie Roby couldn't have punted that ball to the right.
Fans like us, the only response there is what happened. The Jets happened in the worst possible time, but they did recover, and now they have
that happen. Yeah. You give yourself a chance to win the game by protecting it a certain way, by doing the little things, and you got an opportunity. I like this Jets matchup coming up because I think that the Dallas proved against Minnesota. You get Minnesota where they have to throw the ball, you can beat them. The Jets can put some pressure on that quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I, I kind of like that part of the game. I think the Jets are going to make this very interesting.
Yeah, I completely agree with the matchup coming this week. Wesley, we got to leave it right there, but it's always great to catch up with you. Call anytime you want. All the best to you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for supporting a tremendous cause. You guys, trust me, it works. So thank you so much for doing that.
Absolutely. Mike Westhoff, again, Figure It Out is the book. You got to read it. He's a great personality and obviously an even greater coach as well. Long time in the NFL. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart, let's finish up with some calls. It's Bart and Hunt. ESPN Radio. The U.S. scored a goal? Is that what that means? We will give you updates.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn. Okay, so yes, in the U.S.-Iran match in the World Cup that is going on right now, Christian Pulisic scores 39th minute to give the U.S. a 1-0 lead. That's critical because the U.S. has to win this game. Iran just has to have a draw and they advance. The U.S. must win, and its most celebrated player of this generation scores a big goal, but it came at the ultimate sacrifice, Bart Scott.
What's the ultimate sacrifice?
Well, because he was able to get to a ball. He was able to redirect a brilliant pass into the net. But as he landed, the goalkeeper's knee caught him in a place where no man wants a knee to catch him.
Oh, in honor of Christmas, the Nutcracker
suite? Yeah, this was the Nutcracker suite.
I see you. Listen, you just played a beautiful call by the Spanish.
Just
station.
Had a goal taken back offside.
I want
just had a goal, so it could have been 2-0.
Right, I want to hear the Iranian call.
Yeah, we have the Telemundo call, which is brilliant.
I want to hear the Iranian call.
The Fox call was a good call as well, but we do not have
the American score. Boo. Sacre bleu.
You'd be the worst announcer.
Sacre bleu.
If your country was losing. You'd be so salty. If you were the play-by-play guy, your whole thing would be awful, right? If you were the American play-by-play guy and Iran scored, how would you sound?
Game blouses.
You'd be the absolute worst. It would actually be funny, though, because you'd be so salty and miserable. It's the best homers are the ones that are calling a game where their team was losing.
Iran.
There's nothing better than that.
Iran.
Yeah, they scored.
Iran scores.
It's 1-0. 1-0, whatever. Yeah. We don't even like this sport in this country. You start doing that.
Let's go play basketball. See us in basketball. What's up?
Well, let's see what happens with the U.S. as they have the 1-0 lead right now. A must win. What we'll be talking about tomorrow. Maybe a U.S. win. We'll see. See you tomorrow,
Soccer
buddy.
Blue.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.